mixture today will be a bit of halacha and agodah. I'd like to start with a question which bothered me for a long time. The story of Purim. We all know the story of Purim. But there's something which happens in the Megillah which is very odd indeed. And that is the way Mordechai behaved towards Haman. When Haman gave out the instruction that everybody has to bow down to him. And Mordechai flatly refused. Well, we can understand why. But Mordechai went out of his way to demonstrate to Haman that he was flatly refusing. And the way the Mepharshim speak, it's very clear that if Haman was going to come through the palace gates at 9 a.m, then Mordechai made sure he was there at 8:55. And to demonstrate he was not going to bow down. Whereas other Jews would have just stayed away, keep out of the fellow's way, and don't bow down, okay? But to Dafka stand there and demonstrate to him one's azus upon him, as it were, and say, I'm not going to bow down to you, was a provocation. And that provocation directly led, or so it seems, to all the problems. Because it says in the Pasuk, in Megillas Esther, Perek Gimel, he saw that Mordechai would refuse to bow down to him, and he was filled with anger. And then it immediately says, and then Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. So we see here, directly as a result of Mordechai refusing to bow down, Haman says, I'm going to kill all the Jews.
This is a clear proof though that Haman's a Russia, because it seems everyone else did bow down to him. Only said that half of their heart affected. So on account of that one person, he wanted to kill everyone. So it goes to show that it was just a pretext anyway. It didn't really prove.
Right. It was just a pretext. That's one of the things I was thinking of saying.
Where's the chief?
I asked this question to some learned people, and the first person who I asked quoted to me the Mesilas Yesharim of Rav Dessler. The Michtov Meliyahu of Rav Dessler, who writes about the question, and how could Mordechai do this? And his answer is, you have to have emunas chachomim and trust in the leaders of your generation, who know what they're doing and don't necessarily give all their reasons for what they're doing, and we put our trust in them. We don't know how much Mordechai knew or foresaw for the future, but we have to put our trust in him. However, on the other end of that spectrum, there was somebody else who I asked, Rav Meir Schlesinger Shlita, and he said to me, perhaps Mordechai just didn't know, he didn't realize what the outcome would be. Okay, we don't have to whitewash all our leaders and say that everything they did was right. Maybe he made a mistake. Is that such a terrible thing to say?
On the other hand, you've got the issue about the Shkolim. Did Shkolim first because of how much Shkolim. You know, if Mordechai knew that.
Yeah. Okay. But then we come to the third point which has just been said, and that is, it's a pretext. Every time a Rosha does something wrong, the Musa Sfarim say this, the Rosha finds some justification for what he's doing to make it sound as though what he's doing is logical. And therefore, when Hitler Yirach Shemo wanted to kill out the Jews, there was a reason given that the Aryan race is the true race and the perfect race and so on. But whenever there's anti-Semitism, there is no logic there. And they just give reasons like the Jews are taking away our jobs, etc. We've heard it all before. So it was a pretext, and he was just trying to find a pretext for carrying out what the Nazis would call the final solution. Yes. But what is a bit worrying is that Haman said to Achashverosh, Yesh am mefuzar umefarod beino amim. There is a people who are scattered around amongst your countries. And Chazal tell us, what does this mean, mefuzar umefarod beino amim? It means that they were never unified. That the Jews are always squabbling with each other. They're always quarreling with each other. There is no achdus amongst them. And that is the Musa for us which we carry forward from Purim, and maybe that's the Musa which we carry forward on the day of the annual general meeting. So if we bring that forward into the halacha, there are a number of reasons given for the various mitzvahs which we have on Purim. As we know, we have the mitzvah of the Megillah on Purim, which is Pasumei Nissa, publicizing the miracle. We can ask what was the actual miracle, but we'll come back to that later. Then we've got, of course, Matanos Levyonim, giving to poor people tzedakah. We have Mishloach Monos, giving food gifts, at least two items of food to one person. And we have the mitzvah of the Suda, and we say Anonisim, and we have a special Kriyas HaTorah on Vayavar Amalek. Now, we're going to deal today primarily with the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos, which seems to be the one which isn't so often discussed. And you've got in front of you the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah, Perek Beis. And we look at Halacha Tes Vov, which is seven lines from the bottom. And there, the Rambam is talking about the duty of having the se'uda, the meal. Ketzach chovas ha-se'uda. Ketzach chovas se'uda. Zu, sheyochal basar. How does one carry out the duty of one's meal? Sheyochal basar, that one eats meat. The vegetarians might try to interpret this as meaning the food which you like best, as the Ramah indicates elsewhere that it's reshus and not chova. The yisakin seuda noa kafi asher timtza biyado, and you prepare a very nice meal according to what you are able to do. The shosa yayin, and one drinks wine ad sheyishdaker, until one is shikha drunk. And there's a little base there which refers you to the bottom hagos maimonios, which says it doesn't dafka mean drunk, but there is a shus, and we've discussed in the past what that means, that you don't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai or Homon, and Ad, the word you are chayv inish the sumed puria. Ad, what does until mean? It can mean up to and not including. But that's something else. The Yerdam b'shikruso, and the person will then fall asleep from his shikrus. The chayin, and so chayv odom nishlach shtei monos. A person must send two items of food. Either bosor, meat, or shnei minei tavshil, or two cooked dishes, or shnei minei ochlin, lachavero, or two kinds of general food to one's friend, shenem, as it says in the Megillah, or mishlach, monos, ish, lerei ehu. Shtei monos, lishechot, two to one person. That's the difference with Matanos Levyonim, where you have to give to two people. V'chol ha-mar v'nishloach lereim meshubach, one who multiplies with it, is meshubach, is praised. If ain lo, and if a person doesn't have any, machlifim chavero, one can swap with one's friend, zeh shaleach, lezeh sudoso, lezeh shaleach, lezeh sudoso, kedei lekarim shloach monos ishloyeh, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of mishloach monos. So the question is, why do we give mishloach monos? It's mashma here, quite clearly, from the Rambam, that the reason why you give shloach monos is in order that people will have plenty of food for their seuda. And you can see that in the words of the second line of that paragraph, the chayim chayav odom nishlach. He first talks about the meal, and then he says, and so, as if, and therefore, you give monos to everybody else. Why? In order that they have food for their meal. So if you turn over the page, we come to an extract from the Terumas Hadeshen, and at the top right hand corner, Shailah She'ilot Kuf Yud Aleph. And there he's asked the question, B'nei Odom, Hashochim Mechavrehem, people who sent to their friends the Purim, Chalukim V'sadinim, these are clothes or shirts, Dinim are bed sheets, Uchahai Gavna, Hetzim Yudei Mishlach Monos, Olam. He's asked, are they fulfilling the mitzvah of Shlach Monos when they send these non-edible items? Teshuvah Yireh De'ein Yotzim Bohem, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. Dinir etam mishloach, the reason of shlach monos is gedei sheyehei lechol echad dai v'sipek lekayim ha-se'uda, that everybody should have enough food in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the suda. Kedina, according to the din, kamashma b'gemara perikamad abaya barabin, as it's mashma from the gemara in Megillah, They swapped their meals with each other. And that way they fulfilled their duty of Shlachmonos. Alma, therefore we see the Talmud Shum Sudahu is because of Sudahi, it's for the reason of the meal. Vesu, and further, Nira Delarish Gachem Bashum Mokam, we don't find in any place the Mikri Monos, the word Monos, Elomide de Michle. Unless it's talking about items of food, of demishte, or of drink. And so one can derive from the Rambam's Lashon, which we've just said about on the previous page, Shekosav, he writes, Chayv Lishloach Shtei Monos, one must send two Monos, Shel Bosa, Shtei Minei Tavshilo, Shtei Minei Tavchilim. This is all talking about food. V'nirei Deshtoim, Deshtio Bechlal Achilo, that the drinking is included in the eating, so you can send wine and so on. With matana sivyonim kos of mos, that's money. Ominei macholim, but you can give a poor person food as well. We have discussed in our previous shir on chavilos, that you can't fulfill your mitzvah by sending the macholos to a poor person, of doing both mitzvahs at the same moment, of shachmonos and matana sivyonim. But he says here, you can give food to the poor person for matanah sivyonim. Alma, therefore, we see the gabi mishloach monos sova dafka midei de michle. Shloach monos is dafka with food. So the reason, says the Trumas Hadesha, for shloach monos is what? That you have plenty of food for your suda. And that's the reason. Okay. But there is a disagreement. There is another opinion. The monos halevi, who does a perish on Megillas Esther, says that the reason why you send shloach monos is kedei laharbos ava v'achva v'shalom v'reyos, in order to multiply and increase and enhance love and fellowship and peace and neighborliness between Jewish people. Why? As we said earlier, where Haman said to Achashverosh, yesh am mefuzor u'mefarod beino amim, this people are scattered, it's because they're squabbling with each other, it's because if you've got 4 million Jews in Israel, you've got 4 million political parties, and if people are squabbling with each other, and we want to aim that they're all friendly with each other, then what do? You do something which enhances friendship.
According to the Tshuva of the station, yes, maybe we should have monos for every Sudas mitzvah.
Well, the reason why you may carry on Yom Kippur is because of people giving food gifts to other people, and you will therefore be wishing to carry in the street, and that is called Metzurach Ochel Nefesh. So we do find that on Yom Tov there is an inyan of giving food gifts to other people, but it's not stressed at any time in the Jewish calendar as much as in Purim.
Sending out a direct
it's not a direct chiyuv. So we've got a machlokis going on between the Trumas Hadeshen and the Monos Halevi. According to the Trumas Hadeshen, the purpose of Shlach Monos is that you should have lots of food for your Seuda. And this is mashma clearly from the Rambam. But according to the Monos Halevi, the reason why you give Shlach Monos is in order to enhance friendship, in order that this criticism which Haman labelled against us should be absolved and we are going to become a unified people. I don't know his name. I'll check for you. It's a well-known perush on Megillas Esther. There is another reason that the idea of Shlach Monos, says the Bach, and that is Mishum Simchas Odom im Ohav Avareil, which isn't exactly the same thing as the Monos Halevi, in order to make a person feel happy. But it's very similar. So the practical question is this. Why do we have to distinguish between the Trumas Hadesh and the Monos Halevi? What difference does it make what the reason is for Shlach Monos? What practical difference does it make in Halachim? And the answer is, the question is if you bring Shlach Monos to somebody and they refuse to accept it, either because they don't like you, or because they're worried you're then going to ask them for a favour, or whatever it is, if a person does not... Pardon?
A tax burden.
I once knew a person who refused to accept Shlach Monos because he felt then a duty to have to reciprocate. Alright, well.
Is one allowed to refuse Shlach Monos?
Somebody wants to do a mitzvah, can you stand in the way and stop them? But the Ramah does address himself to this question. And the Ramah says, if one doesn't want to accept Shlach Monos, Or a person is moichel, saying, it's very kind of you, thank you very much, but we got plenty nuts and raisins already, and the children have eaten far too much junk food already, and we decided we're not going to have any more white sugar in this house, so please don't be offended, but we would prefer to decline your kind gesture. Then have you done your mitzvah? Have you fulfilled the mitzvah of Mishnah Manas? According to the Trumas HaDeshem, who says that the food is for the Seuda, you haven't done your duty, because that person hasn't taken that food for the Seuda. But according to the Monos HaLevi, who says that the reason for Shlach Monos is Kedei Laharos Ava V'Achva V'Sholom V'Reos, to make friendship, then you've done your duty. You've offered it. You've showed a nice gesture. The fact that they haven't decided not to accept it, that's none of your business. Sorry?
Of
course,
a bit of an aggravation,
never mind that. Of course, aggravation. I want to give you
Shlach Monos. No, because of the white sugar, he doesn't want it. He's thinking.
Okay, so give him some. So give him some wholemeal bread, or with demerara sugar, or with nice healthy fruits, and you've done your mitzvah, and it's healthy food. Okay, that's not a subtle hint telling people what to give me, right? So so the Rama says you've done your mitzvah. So according to the Rama, the fact that you've done your mitzvah means that the Rama must be going according to the Monos HaLevi, because you've shown your friendship. And the Rama is declining the view of the Trumas HaDeshen and the Rambam, which says that the food is for the Seuda. However, the Pri Chodosh does argue with the Rama, and the Pri Chodosh does say that if somebody offers Shlach Monos and it's declined, then you're not Yotzer, then you do have to go and give your Shlach Monos to somebody else. And the Shalos HaTshuvos of the Chasam Sofer writes in Siman Kuf Tzadivov that it does depend on what is the reason for the mitzvah. If it's to show love, then you've done your duty. But if it's for the Seuda, you have not done your duty. The Levush writes on this in Tovresh Tzadihei, Sif Dalad. He says the reason is for the Seuda. But in any case, the Chiddush of the Levush is that the reason for the Shlach Monos is for the Seuda. But in any case, if you try to give it and it's been declined, you're still Yotzer. Why? Because you're honest, you can't help it, you offered it. Okay. Now what if you've sent by a shliach? You give a messenger, and that's the normal way of doing mishloach monos, and this shliach was a bit absent-minded and lost it on the way. Or it got stolen on the way. We gave it to the wrong person. Well, no, if you gave it to the wrong person, maybe you've still done Shlach Monos. But if you asked the Shliach to deliver it, and the Shliach failed to deliver it, then the Big Kayosif says that even according to the remot, you are not Yotzer. You haven't done your duty. Because you haven't shown Abba Vachla Vashon of Arayos, and the furlough hasn't got for the Seuda. Or what if it arrives, what if the Shlach Monos arrives without your name on it? So the fellow receives Shlach Monos and says, who on earth is this from? I've got 5 bottles of wine, 3 cakes, and 10 packets of biscuits. How kind, but I don't know who it's from. There's no name on it. And you ask the Shliach, who is it from? He says, I don't remember. I'm just a minicab driver. If the Shlach Monos is for the Seuda, then you've got to give it before the Seuda. But if you give it the night before, you're not Yotzer, because it says in the Megillah the word Yom, or Yomei, and the chiyuv of giving Shlach Monos is in the daytime and not at the night time, as with Matanos Levyonim. So it's nice when shuls put out lots of plates the night before and people put money in it, but the Matanos Levyonim has to be in the daytime, and the Shlach Monos has to be in the daytime, and the Seuda has to be in the daytime as well.
What if someone says to a few people, I've opened an account at the butcher's, and go there on Purim and collect, or someone gives them a message, go there on Purim and collect your Shlach Monos.
That's not the Shlach.
No, that's certainly not a Shlach.
No, I'm just saying that to people, say, look, they're little envelopes. Go to their bread mills or whatever the people want. Open check. Not the Seuda.
Okay, we'd have to have a separate debate about that.
It's not
Mishloach.
No, but if someone gives him an envelope and says, look here, this
it's
is
not actually being delivered. You might have your butcher as being the Shliach, but it's not.
Here's a gift back.
Across.
Yeah.
In other words, you're going to give vouchers, so here's a shlachmanut, you give vouchers.
You try. You might say to somebody, look, in order to save costs this year, and we're not sending so many shlachmanut, a tree in Israel has been planted by the JNF in your name.
Okay, thank you. That's not...
That's not shlachmanut.
Yes, no, I didn't say that. You're sending a gift voucher and say, go to this shop, order, choose whatever you want, whatever value for you.
That's going to be cool. Surely he's
going to
make no effort, isn't that?
Right, wait a minute. It's certainly not so much.
Well,
you could argue. Well, you could say it depends on this machlokes. According to the Trimas Hadeshin, who said the food is for the Suda, then I can go and collect it round the corner and I've got food for the Suda. But according to Monas Halevi, I don't think it's a very nice act of friendship to say to somebody, go round the corner and pick it up.
I don't know what you need, but go choose yourself. A ready made Suda.
Yeah. All right. I understood that you're allowed to. If you have a stocker, let's say sure, the plates are out, you can put it in advance, as long as the government gives it over on Purim.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can actually give it to
them. That is delivered on your behalf on Purim. Okay, anyway, if it arrives without a name, then it seems, according to the Ksav Sofek Kuf Memalev, that it's okay if it's for the Suda, but it's not okay if the purpose of it is for Ahava, of showing friendship. If you come to the house and you want to deliver shlachmanos and there's nobody in, so you leave it under the porch and it's got your name on it, then you've done your mitzvah. Ah, but what if they're away and they only get it after Purim? Then you have not done your mitzvah. So there's a risk involved. Now this year our relations and friends in Yerushalayim and certain other places have a Shushan Purim on Shabbos. So it's called Purim Meshulash. Why? Because they can't read the Megillah on Shabbos because there's a Takana of Rabbah, just like the Shofar and Lulav, which are not done on Shabbos because there's a risk of carrying in a public place. So the Megillah is not read on Shabbos. So the practice is they read the Megillah on Friday, and then on Shabbos they say Al HaNissim, and they line Vayavo Amalek, and there's a special Simcha of the day. Some even believe that you should have a special Suda on that Shabbos. Matanis Levyonim as well. Thank you. But on Sunday is the Zman of the Seuda and the Shlachmonos. So the question is asked in Halacha, can you give the Shlachmonos on Shabbos? Assuming that you can carry it to the other person's house, why shouldn't you give the Shlachmonos on Shabbos? After all, it's Purim proper. You can give somebody something for a mitzvah on Shabbos, and it's for the mitzvah of the Seuda. So the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkot Yud Ches, since the time of the Seuda is on Sunday, therefore the time you give the Shlachmanos is on Sunday. Why? Because the Shlachmanos is shy for the Seuda. But according to the Kabban Asanel, he says you can give it on Shabbos. So the question is this: if we go according to the Trimas Hadeshin, who says that the reason for the Shlachmanos is for the Seuda, then obviously you give it on the day itself on Sunday. But if the purpose of the Shlachmanos is simply to show friendship, then why shouldn't you give it on Shabbos, if carrying is okay? There's still a chashash that carrying might take place, and even though it's not quite the same category as Megillah and Shofar Lulav, which are more specialist issues, Shema Yetzel, Eitzel, Sheva Yovo, Eitzel, Doki, Lilmod, V'Yavreinu Daradavos, V'Shul Sarabim, you're not actually going to learn about it as such. But there is a chashash of carrying on Shabbos. According to Magen Avraham, the Seuda should be on Shabbos. But the general practice, the Shulchan Aruch and other poskim say that our Jerusalem friends will have their Seuda on Sunday. And if you go to Stamford Hill on that Sunday, you'll see they're still wearing their strimals, even though our Purim festivities are over. Okay.
Why would the decision point?
Because it's a Purim Meshulash, and it's still a Purim, and we don't say Tachanun on that day.
We do.
We say Tachanun on the Sunday.
Oh. No, we don't.
Well.
That's not
how
it would be.
On the Monday as well?
No.
Now, there's another question which arises on Shlachmanos. We said before that we only have to give two foods to one person. As Matanos have given to two people. So the Bach explains that the reason for Shlachmanos is Simchas Odom Imaavov, enjoying one's friendship with other people, And it says, Kaneila Chover, acquire for yourself a friend. So the idea of having a friend is you give one person who is special in your life, you give two foods. And the Brisker Rav made a point of always giving Shachmonas to a very close friend of his, who was the Gaon Mitcharkov. And when this Gaon was Nifta, he asked the question, who will I now give my Shachmonas to? However, the Pele Yoed says that when you give Shachmonas, as it's in order to enhance friendship between people, you shouldn't give to your close friends, because you're friendly with them already. You should give to those who are not so friendly with you. Or to put it in a more blunt way, to those who are braggers with you.
Oh, I'm not giving him. He didn't speak to me last week when I greeted him.
He's the one who doesn't like the white sugar, isn't he?
So there's a risk. There's a risk. He might decline to receive it from you. Thank you, Leonard. It might have white sugar in it. Okay, well, there's a wonderful organic shop which... All right, we'll talk about that later. But he says, in order to be lahavos shalom bein odom lachavero, one should rather give shachmonas to somebody you're not so friendly with, rather than one you're friendly with. I once went to a house, thinking it was the right address for shachmonas. By mistake, I knocked on the house next door, because I got the address slightly wrong, and it was a person who I haven't ever been really that close with. And only after I rang the doorbell, I thought, oh my gosh, this is the wrong house.
Were you in fancy dress?
Yeah. I was not in fancy dress. So this fellow, who I've never been that close with, we weren't enemies or anything, but we were just acquaintances. And he opens the door and he says, Eli, how nice of you. I said, well, good purring, you know. Fortunately, I didn't write the other guy's name on it, so-and-so. I just wrote on it, good purring from Eli, so it didn't really matter. And he said, oh, how nice of you. He got the surprise of his life. And since then, for the last 20 years, I've been getting invitations to all his dinners, all his dinners and weddings. And he regards me as, I don't know why, just for the price of a packet of raisins and peanuts. Well, the truth is that there is no definitive pesach on this matter in the poskim as to whether whom you choose to give to. Because there are arguments to suggest it should be to a close friend, arguments to suggest it's someone who's not so close. In practice, there's no difference to whom one sends it. So you don't have to have this feeling, oh, I've got to give him because he's given me, or etc., etc., etc.
Is there any merit in multiplying? Sorry. Multiplying the number, because you know it's got the state where traffic.
Yeah, I think it has gone out of hand, and although we read in the Rambam that it's meshuvach to give to extra people, it is written in a number of sources that it's more preferable that if one wants to multiply, one should multiply the matanos levyonim to give to poor people who are much more needy than people who have mountains of food, of junk food, and they don't know what to do with it. And
apparently FedEx are employing 100 people this year.
I believe there is going to be an article in the coming issue of a certain newspaper to discuss what to do with leftover junk food. Because an email went round asking people for ideas for this article. Okay. Binet, that's probably the answer. To round all this off, I did ask a question earlier when we were talking about Haman and Achashverosh and Mordechai and so on. I did ask another question. What was the actual miracle? What was the Nes of Purim? We talk about Al HaNisim. And when we have Al HaNisim on Chanukah, there was a Nes because of Pach Shemen and there wasn't enough oil and it burnt beyond the time that they had allotted to it. And there was the Nes of the Milchama that we won against all odds. There were Nisim. Just like with Pesach, we had the Nes of Golas Mitzrayim and the Tzias Mitzrayim with the Esem Makkas and the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Ridas Hamon. So they were missing, and we celebrate with Parsume Nissa publicizing the miracle. But what was the miracle of Purim? What was the miracle? We know the story, the Nafuchu, and the way things happened, but was there anything which went against the Derech HaTeva, the laws of nature?
The interviews of Esther.
That Esther was chosen to be queen?
Esther went before she was called, Mashar Mithazov. She could have died.
Esther could have died? Okay. One answer I once had from somebody was that the Jews were saved. That was the nes. But it doesn't go against that when you read the Megillah. All right, there is the idea of Nisna. And Hashem working in a way behind the scenes. And we know from the Midrash there were certain issues like the Malach Gavriel pushed Haman onto the couch, which Esther was lying on, so that when Ahasuerus came in, he got into a temper. Hagam lichposhim samalkoi mi baboyas. But what was the nes? What was the miracle? The actual miracle? You could say, just that because we were a nation who was split up and arguing with each other, that we got saved. That was a miracle. And thank you. That the whole story of Purim is Kimu v'Kiblu, that they accepted the Torah upon themselves, and that the real Matan Torah came at Hodom Kiblu Abimei Achashverosh, and that's why we're responsible for when we do Averus. And the idea of Kimu v'Kiblu is Matan Torah, and at the time of Matan Torah it says Vayichan Shav Yisrael Neged Ohar, and why is it Vayichan in the singular? Because it's we became one. There was no argument at the time of Matan Torah, so we can say that the Mefuzah Mefarad, which happened, which Haman criticizes us for, disappeared, and for Kimu v'Kiblu we became a unified nation. Miraculous? Definitely. But does it go against the laws of nature? No. There is a Ramban. There is a Ramban in his Maamar Teres Hashem Tamima who says, what is a nes? What is a miracle? He says, a miracle is not simply something which happens against the laws of nature. Certainly, in order to enhance our amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have nisin nigloyim like Kriyas Yamsuf. But when the rain descends in its natural way, that is a miracle. The fact that we wake up each day is a miracle. We take it for granted. We talk about Derech HaTeva, but those are miracles. What he says is what is a nes? A nes is something which happens because it happens at that particular moment in time. It happens then and no other time. That is divinely inspired, and that is a miracle. And if you go through Megillas Esther and you see the fact that Vashti was killed at that particular time, just when Haman was coming to power, that Mordechai overheard a conversation between Bigson and Seresh at that particular time, that Esther became queen, that the king could not get to sleep on that particular night when Haman was coming to visit him, and the fact that Haman got hung at that particular... All these events happened at that particular moment within the chain of the story. And if they wouldn't have happened at that time, but at other times, then the story might not have turned out the way it did. So when we say Allah Nissim, we are having in mind the fact that when Hashem does for us Nissim, He's doing them for us nowadays as well. He is helping us along in our daily lives that we mustn't take them for granted. Because when people say, oh, this was a coincidence that this happened, or that was a coincidence, these are nisim because they happen at that particular moment. So when we celebrate Purim, we're celebrating Vayomim Ra'im Bazman Hazeh, not only miracles which happened to our forefathers, we're also celebrating those miracles which Hashem is doing for us in His chesed, in their timing. And that is an important part of Yiddishkeit and our emunah as well, that we appreciate not only those nisim which were revealed against nature, but those which seem to conform to the laws of nature, but are happening at that particular moment, to bring us Geula Yeshua, which should hopefully happen speedily in our days. Thank you. Simchas Purim to everyone.